Hello again, everybody. This is James Bartley, and you're watching and listening to the Cosmic Switchboard Show. Today, my guest is old friend Nathan Sizek. I thought I'd bring Nathan back and talk about a number of issues, current events, potential trends, and get some kind of insight on where we might be going. So, without any further ado, Nathan, welcome back to the Cosmic Switchboard Show.
Thank you for having me, James. Great to be here. And I must say that I'm frustrated and I'm angry because we're on the verge of World War III, or at least a serious long-term war in Iran with a possible draft. They just reinstituted it, lowered the age. I've got a son who just finished Towson University with a four-year degree. He's draft age. I've got nephews. There's plenty of people in my family, and there's plenty of other people in other families, those I know and those I don't know, that don't deserve any of this crap. I'm concerned about, the global implosion of the economy, especially here in the U.S., is, the first to go. And I just see the world going to hell in a very rapid rate. And the problem is they don't, I'm not getting any real response from people. There's people, and there's a handful of people in the community that I talk to that are completely up on this, like yourself. They feel the same way I do. But when it comes to the people around me, the everyday Joe Sixpack, and I don't know what his female counterparts call, but the regular people that don't pay attention very much, but they do watch the news and they are concerned, don't seem to care. And it's as if I'm in my own echo chamber when I'm in the public yelling and screaming, stomping my feet. Nobody cares and nobody pays attention or is laughing at me, thinking, it's fake news. Trump's the savior. And then when you tune in to social media, you see an endless parade of people that would normally be on your side, normally be agreeing with you. And instead, they're channeling what obviously are military handlers and military handler networks that are pushing Zionist propaganda and the Trump savior, QAnon psychological operation propaganda. It's still going strong, and it's astonishing to me that we're still having this conversation. I mean, I think after the Robert Mueller hoax, once that went away and nobody was arrested, that should have been it. But no, they doubled down and tripled down and quadrupled down and more. And now we're at this point where logic and common sense and being heart-centered, just having that human self-preservation instinct, it seems like it's gone. And I frankly feel quite kind of isolated within a large population of people because of it. So what do you think?
And I agree with you. I read a comment the other day on a video, and it's a good thing that I wasn't eating at the time. Otherwise, I'd have to give myself a Heimlich maneuver because I would have asphyxiated. The video, you might have seen it. It was from Sweden, and there was a jihadist climbing up a ladder up onto a second story balcony or window, right? And he had like a knife, and he was up there to mete out mayhem to the Swedish natives. And the simple expedient of tipping over the ladder, making him fall, right? It never occurred to these people. Like me, someone's climbing up a ladder, I'd be going, honey, get the pot of tar boiling. We've got some guest company, right? I'd be there with my Louisville slugger and my bowling ball, knock him over. And then if, bowling ball happens to fall on them and maybe old disused furniture, whatever the case may be. But no, the guy who's filming him, the jihadist, just lets him crawl up the ladder, get up to the landing and just start wreaking mayhem. And someone wrote in the comments, this guy has the what would he write? He wrote, oh, he's got the self-preservation instinct of a potato, right? And when I read that, I damn near keeled over because I think that Mr. Potato Head kind of mentality is pervasive throughout society. And the contortions people twist themselves into in order to take in whatever conflicting information narratives that come into their field of perception, how they twist themselves into all these uncomfortable positions in order to safely assimilate it. It's either that or they let it like water off a duck's back. Like, for example, they started up the war once again. It's just a never-ending series of lies. Okay, let's open up the strait. Let's not open up the strait. Let's, bomb Iran. Let's not bomb Iran. And it just goes round and round. And what we're seeing is the kind of comments coming out of the administration. This thuggish Tony Soprano mentality has kind of superseded and taken over normal diplomacy. Well, we're seeing now how reptiles speak. If you were to put a like a universal communicator translator in front of them and say, "Well, give us your thoughts." Well, I want all these scum to just kill each other, basically, right? But still, that message, loud and clear, would still have to be filtered through this kind of Marxist, cultural Marxist indoctrination, and that applies also to these people who consider themselves conservatives and what's left of the dying MAGA crowd. I never thought I'd see this level of cognitive dissonance this late in the game, Nathan.
Yeah, I think I saw that. I think you reposted that video, didn't you? I didn't look at it though, but I read a little bit of your
I think
commentary there.
I seen it years ago, then I saw it again. I don't remember if I ever posted it. But yeah, it was, the simple expedient, just tip the ladder over or wait till he gets within range and conk him in the head. But he lets him climb on up, and it's like, and then the guy wrote, "This guy's got a self-preservation instinct of a potato. Damn near
I
killed
know.
me."
It's literally a meme, and it's just I can imagine and of course think of examples that I've seen in the news, and it's interesting. My mother tends to be an NPC, and then she kind of moves a little bit to into reality a little bit, and then she gets a little bit afraid and moves back to the NPC way of thinking. I said to her, she was here over the last few days since Friday. And Saturday, I think it was, I said to her, I said, humanity has lost its self-preservation instinct. She says, oh, no, it's not. I'm like, what do you mean? She says, people still go to work. They send their kids to school. That's how, that's survival. That's their self-preservation instinct. And I just, when I confronted her about it, of course, she walks away and she'll talk from the other room and then change the subject. So it doesn't go anywhere. I can't get through. But I could name off several things that if you would have mentioned these things 30 years ago, or even 20, people would revolt in horror and say, there's no way that people would stand for that. I could say, well, they biologically engineered a virus and they released it either by accident or by intent, and it appears to be like their overall intent was to release it. Maybe it got out early, maybe it didn't. My theory is it got out a little early and it wasn't the one they wanted. But nevertheless, that comes out, and then they have an engineered response here to sicken and reduce the population. And not just that, the ones that make it through this with probably reduced lifetimes are going to be tied into nanotech that's in the vaccine. It circulates through their body, replicates, and is and responds to cellular phone frequencies. So, that's one example. Why would we stand for that? Two, why would we stand and just sit there and not protest this war that's taking place that threatens to be the last war we ever fight? I could go on and on and on. Why would we allow fraudulent elections to take place in this country? And why would we allow any of this medical tyranny? And if I were to tell people, oh, we're going to have cameras everywhere, they're going to be tracking us, there's going to be something called smart dust circulating around, they're going to be watching everything we do, even listening to our thoughts, and then arresting us for thought crimes, putting us in re-education camps. All of this has been talked about by the elites. All of this, I mean, this is their way of pushing the negative karma of what they're doing onto us, because if we consent by doing nothing, then it's consensual by default, and they're going to get away with all of it. If I told this to people 30 years ago, some would say, the pessimists would say, yeah, that doesn't surprise me. That's the progression of things as I see it. But most people would say, I would no, and I would never do that. And it appears to me that the only time that most people have any courage is when they're drunk, because that's when they want to take over the government. They want to fix everything. They want to stand on top of a heap of dead bodies after the revolution and cry out in victory, or shout out in victory. But that's why they're drunk. But when they sober up, it's back to the grind. It's back to serving the system. It's back to conforming, and it's back to telling people like us to shut up because they don't want to hear about it because we're being negative. We're ruining the party. We're ruining the good time. So.
Well, yeah, a couple of points that you mentioned, one of which was the draft, and people don't understand the implications of that. That the state has the power to decide. Extreme examples are Ukraine, where they're literally press ganging 15-year-olds off the street to send them off as cannon fodder, even old men, right? People don't understand that. The indifference, the apathy, and the self-indulgence was all well and good if they lived in a world that didn't have so many potential threats. But we live in a world that's run by psychopaths and bloodthirsty liars. And they've contrived a series of events and agendas that is going to strip what they hope, what's left of the manhood of America and the West, and ship them off to fight in a suicidal effort and leave their native countries completely defenseless. If you take a look at America, for example, there's so many immigrants flooding in from the global South, so-called, right? Especially from Latin America, but from all over the place. Mosques are going up everywhere. What's going to happen, it seems to me, is Trump and the Rhino Republicans are going to get swept in the coming midterms. So this means that even more foaming at the mouth leftists and communists wind up becoming mayors, governors, city councilman. So we're going to see more of that hardcore Marxism. I mean, you take a look at New York City now, just how dysfunctional, or Chicago, two formerly great capitals of the world, not just of America, but of the world. And now they're just hellish leftist dung heaps, basically. So that's what we're seeing is all these wars are being contrived. They're going to send off, they're going to draft hordes of young men, excuse me, fighting off a bug, send them off to die pointlessly because there's no intention really of winning. Any kind of objective analysis of the war against Iran, it's simply impossible to defeat them on military terms. The whole country is a huge mountain fortress with a huge coastline with mountains overlooking the coastline. Everything is within range of their drones and their missile systems. It's a non-starter to think that they can actually invade that. So what we're going to see once again is, well, it's been going on, these what's been described as these unwinnable, not meant to be won, a Council on Foreign Relations wars. So the flower of America's manhood is going to be sent to die pointlessly, leaving America wide open for even more mass immigration. Meanwhile, midterms kick in, demon rat socialists taking over everywhere, right? If Trump and his ilk were really serious about draining the swamp, they would have started with all these schools and universities that are excreting by the hour, foaming at the mouth leftists, right? That's one of the first places to start, is to stop this pipeline, this factory, mass industrial process of taking impressionable, gullible, vulnerable young kids, spitting them out in a few years as hardened activists and leftists. That's one of the first places to start, but they didn't go there, right? So that is an issue. And you look in another field that's near and dear to our heart, the UFO field, but passes for the UFO community, UFO buffoonery, as I used to call it. And it's interesting, Nathan, how so many of the narratives, the Fox News narratives, the bogus war propaganda war in favor of the war in Iran and the war in Ukraine by extension, how so much of that is in alignment with some of these narratives being spewed out by certain elements of the so-called UFO community, right? They are so in sync. And the irony is, in the old days, the UFO research community was very much a hotbed of resistance, of rebellion. Like, hey, look over here, we're being oppressed. The truth is being withheld. This is affecting every single person on the planet. Now it's like, oh yeah, let's go invade. Does Greenland have any stargates? Let's go. Let's take down Greenland, right?
I completely agree. What you have to do in these cases is you have to look at what's going on the ground and walk it back to figure out what their real agenda is. And you're right about the socialist communists coming in. Trump recently, and I just put this out on Facebook earlier, actually yesterday, and it's old news. It had been out there for a good month or two, where Trump literally says, I think he was standing on Air Force One, where he was doing a speech someplace, but he said, we have to do away with Social Security. We have to do away with the whole social safety net. The federal government's role is to conduct war. We're a war, a which basically a war fighting country. We don't have time and money resources for this stuff. Leave it up to the states. If the states want to spend their money, we can give them a tax break, and so on and so forth. And he just kind of tries to, to make the fall that you're going through when you hear that a little softer when he says that. So now there's, there's some positive attributes here. States will get a tax cut. But when people hear that, they're shocked and they're disgusted. But I personally can't get a rise out of anybody locally that I know, especially those who are collecting Social Security. That's the crazy thing. It's just like you can tell them what's going on, you can show them the clip. Usually you can't find the clip when you need to, but if you happen to have it, then you can try to let them watch it, but they won't look at it. They'll push it away. They'll say, I don't want to hear it. I don't want to hear it. And they don't want to hear anything. And then when you tell them, well, they're proposing cuts up to $600 a month to be taken away from you. And you paid into this, and this is your money. This is all of our money here. And there's literally no response. There's no, it's just, I don't want to hear it. Let me go back to my own little world. It's just, you have to kind of start blaming something. Definitely, it's a disconnect from the creator, obviously. They're not thinking, even they don't have any self-preservation at all, and they don't seem to care about other people. And that seems to be the rampant problem going around, no matter what generation it is. It's pretty much universal. And it's basically what the Bible talked about. I mean, I have to give the Bible credit here. It's been more accurate than just about anyone at this point, because it seems like when it's more than seems like we are intentionally by the, and it's the agenda of the elites to walk us down this timeline that's predicted, depending on how you interpret the Bible. We're going along this timeline, and it looks to me like we're right in the middle of it. And that 7 years that the Bible talks about, it seems like we're right in the middle of that, or at least the first quarter or first third of it is completed. And I don't know what to say about it. I mean, it's just like here we are. And I remember being a kid standing in front of the sink with a toothbrush, and I was thinking about something I had heard. I was thinking about the Book of Revelations. I may have been around seven, and a little voice inside me, it was my intuition, said, you're going to fight against this one day. And that stuck with me, that memory. There's memories like that. And I think we all have them, those of us who really pay attention to reality and really care, especially those of us who have something we have to do in this life. and who have some sort of connection with our oversoul, with God, with our original self, despite what society and the program handlers try to make us. We all have these moments that we remember, and that was one of them for me. And it's come full circle, and here we are. And it's not about picking up guns and going and overthrowing a government. It's about talking and explaining to people and trying to wake them up. Because if we don't do that, we have no future. There's no way in hell, if the people stood up, that any of this crap would be happening. And yeah, the communists are going to be taken over because once Trump, because I mean, look, it's like a relay race. They're passing a flag, and I've tried to
That's what
tell
I
this to
say.
people.
It's the duopoly. It's
Right.
the Trump and the rhinos. They go and destroy and destabilize other countries, create the pretext for all these migration flows. But domestically, the Bolshevik wing of them, the demon rats, they communize and socialize and F up everything, right? So what you pointed out is people are getting their pensions cut. Meanwhile, taxpayer money is being allocated to all these immigrants coming in. And then you just saw with Shiloh Hendricks, right? The court run by these foaming at the mouth liberal Democrat communists, basically, they throw the book at her for exercising her free speech. And she should have the right to be able to bring her child to a playground and not get messed with by Somali immigrants of any age, right? But this guy, this Somali man who was a child molester, he videos her, and that's a trend going on too. They try to go around and agitate and aggravate white people in order to get a response out of them. And then similar to the Me Too movement that was run by all these foaming at the mouth, man-hating
Right.
feminists, right? It's like they find some outsider, kind of like a loner type student in college, and then they just pile on him. He attacked us. He raped us. Whatever. And then he just destroyed the guy's life. Right.
Right. They hide the
So
context of what really happened.
free speech has been obliterated in favor of the Somali who doesn't even belong in America. I'm sorry, please continue.
Okay, I hope you get a little, well, sounds like you got a little bit of congestion going on. Anyway, hope you feel better. Yeah, you're right. I remember seeing that, and I remember now there was a silver lining to that. People raised money for her, and she got a lot of money out of that because I think she lost her job and was labeled as racist and everything else. And and of course they hide the context. So they only give you like a sliver of what happened to where it makes the person, in this case, the Muslim child molester, makes him look like the victim of this. And that's been a while. I remember seeing that. I think that was last year. And when I looked at it, I also saw another side of it too. I saw how the social media echo chamber, in this case, this is a type of story that would be kind of, the echo chambers of the whole country and then international. They're not holding back on this. But it also feeds into this type of social kind of like tension narrative where everyone is being pitted against one another as well. And so no matter what side of the situation you're on, regardless if it's before or after you know the context, it's all of us being pitted against one another, which is another type of divide and conquer strategy using social issues. And there's so many of them. And I just can't help but to think, if people thought with their heart, then with their mind, and if their heart was pure, that they would see through this stuff. The first thing that I said to myself when I saw that, when I saw the media version of it, because that's where I think we all mostly probably first saw it, was like, okay, what's the rest of the story? But people don't do that. They have this knee-jerk reaction. They've been programmed by the media. And this starts, and I remember seeing this when we went from the Walter, basically the old news, where they would be, it would just be a straight talking guy at a certain way that he spoke, or a certain way she would speak. It almost sounded fake, but it was kind of just like the lingo they had. And they would give you the news without opinion. And then Fox News comes into the picture, CNN, and then you start getting the cable news networks. That's when you started getting something called a soundbite. And I noticed that the attention span, and this is back then, it's a little different now because things are, continue to be modified by the media. But back then, people had about a 3 week attention span because that's how long the media would usually cover a social issue or a political issue. So we've been conditioned to react like this. So all they're doing now, they've set everybody up, they're programmed, their behavior, their responses are programmed, and now they just keep injecting the stimuli and the puppets get up and they dance. And that's exactly what we see. And as far as the communists, getting back to that, yeah, that's always how it is. The conservatives come in, they don't protect the social safety net. They're just as corrupt as the left. They come in and they screw things up, and then it's back to the left again for the solution. And it amazes me, especially after the whole Trump deception, that there's so many people still buying into this, okay, we got to get rid of them now narrative, and I'll join the other side. It's just, it's like good cop and, the bad cop. It's like we're all being interrogated by the government. We have a good cop and a bad cop. And which one do you want to be friends with every election cycle? So yeah, we can expect attacks on what's left of the Second Amendment. We're going to see attacks on free speech, like you were saying, because everything is labeled as hate speech. So they can literally call anything hate speech and then censor it. So if they wanted to do forced sex change surgeries on kids, and it would be like up to the school, not the parents, not even up to the student for that matter. They had to kind of they needed a certain number of token trans children. They would do this, and then if you stood up against it, or you pointed out something's wrong with this, even in a mediocre way, even in a milquetoast way, and you wanted to be diplomatic and let's have a discussion, it's still hate speech. So they can label anything that. And then, of course, take it out of context, and then the media then runs with it, and everybody hates on the person or the group. So this is a very brilliant way of manipulating and steering people and using their what's left of their self-pres. See, we do have a self-preservation instinct. It's not completely gone, but there's nobody steering it inside the person. It's the government steering it.
Yes.
So people are going to get upset about this or that, but the big picture they don't care, and nobody's and it's always the same crap that I hear. We can't do anything about it. And I think about the numbers here. You have a tiny fraction of 1% doing all of this, and everybody else follows orders and does it to their self, and then we wonder why we keep suffering. And it just keeps going on. And then when we reach a point where we're fed up with it, they give us somebody else to pick from out of the people that they already picked, who are all part of the agenda. And regarding the community, man, that is something that's become a clown show. I don't know if I sent this to you. I think I did, but there was a spoof on one of the comedy evening shows. I can't remember which one it was, where they actually picked up the Stargate story that's been perpetrated by, the Cosmic Q networks, which are basically military handled networks of propaganda.
Somebody passed me that. It was this black
I think
guy
it was
was the
me.
it, yeah, I think it was you. It was the interviewer, and he was asking this woman what the war in Iran was about. It was hilarious, really.
Yeah. Sad and hilarious at the same time. And that's exactly the way these psychological operations work, because they will set people up for a period of time to put out this faulty information that sounds absurd to a regular person. And then eventually, if it takes hold within the community and it builds up enough, mass and support, they then allow mainstream media to take a look at it. And then it discredits everything that's actually credible in the movement. So when you hear people from, our I guess you call it community. I mean, we're all kind of lumped together here in this prison, so it's like a big prison, and we're all in this community of a prison, essentially. It makes us all look crazy. We're the crazy prisoners, and it completely destroys any progress that we've made for disclosure. Because, and that's another thing too. They have this fake disclosure stream that's out there, and People have gotten tired of that too. So they've gotten tired of Epstein because they know nothing's going to happen. We're not going to get to the bottom of it. And now it's become a running joke. So I just recently, there was a video of Trump making a joke about the Epstein files, and the audience laughed about it. And it just, and I don't know who was in the audience. It's usually rich, well-to-do people that are well connected within the whole system. And it could have been a group of regular people who support Trump or are there for some other reason that literally just think this is a joke now. And they don't emphasize. They have no empathy whatsoever for the victims, and they don't see the bigger picture, nor do they care to see the bigger picture that this is an extortion operation. This is how Zionist Israel controls the West and gets what they want so they can carry out this agenda, because they're one of several factions pushing for a world government. And it looks like it's a good chance. It looks like, though, that the Israel side is actually going to take the capstone instead of the communist Chinese when it comes to this world government. But we're still going to get the AI. We're still going to get the same results. So yeah, it's an absolute nightmare. And so you have that, but then you have like people in our community who are literally falling for this deception. And I was put through this deception. I saw through it because I saw the inconsistencies, and I wasn't afraid to question things. And I think, and that's part of this, the inner fear of either being wrong or of investing yourself in something and then facing a complete reality implosion, a complete personality implosion. Because a lot of these, actually, I would say all of these influencers that are tied to this propaganda stream have been groomed for a long time. They associate their own soul history and personal identity with the information that they're receiving, as well as the sources of information where they get it from, whether it be spirit guides, so-called benevolent ETs, or in the case of a guy named JP Missions, it's actually a military handler giving him direct orders on what to say, and he admits that. And nobody seems to look at this. I mean, some people are, but the majority of people are looking at this and they're not seeing a problem with it. And that's because of this white hat deception. We've been lied to since at least 2016 about that there's this group, and there's people within the military, James, and you know that don't want to go down this road. They don't want any of these things. But I see zero evidence that there's an organized grouping, a network of white hats within the military industrial complex here in the United States that are organized, that are connected with supposed positive extraterrestrials, and there's this war taking place. I first heard about this, these white hats, and this goes way back before Q. It was in a Commander X book. And I think it was called COM-12 is what he was calling it, or one of those authors, COM-12. And it was supposed to be essentially the opposition to the majority of the military industrial complex that had been taken over by sinister extraterrestrial groups. So I don't know if that was the, and that may have been, there may have been a COM-12, but it seems to have been neutered since then. And if there wasn't, then that was the beginning of the seeding of this narrative, at least as far as I go back. And that goes back to, I was probably late 80s, I think, to early 90s when those books were coming out with the Interlight Publishing Company. So here we are now, and they're running with this narrative. They've been running with it full steam ahead. And I just, it's shocking to see that people keep falling for this. Nobody seems to want to go back and do the research, if you can even find it now. Or even talk to people like us who have been around long enough and have experienced all these things and read about it and done years of research. They're not interested in talking about us. They completely omit us from the discussion because they have a narrative that they need to push. And it's a very popular one because everybody wants to be hopeful. What people want to hear, especially people in our community, is that there's someone taking care of things and we don't have to do it ourselves. So the belief in these white hats is what basically is the psychological primer for all of this other crap to be painted on top of. As long as you cling to that notion that There's saviors out there. There's good people in government. There's good people in the police department. And of course there is, but they have no way of organizing, especially when we know the level of technology that is possessed and the control system that they have. I mean, for shit's sake, James, they can find an unknown person in society that has potential to create an uprising and target and take them out before they even get a chance to do a thing, or put them in a situation of being compromised to the point where what little they can do is minuscule, and then they pay the price with directed energy attacks. But then we're supposed to believe that there's these vast networks of white hats within our military and our government, okay, that are going to save us, and they're immune to these attacks. And the answer, I guess, because nobody asks these questions, nobody confronts these people for several reasons. One, you can't get on their podcast. They're not going to let you get on there and talk to them and ask critical questions. They're not going to go on yours. They're not going to put you on theirs. They're not going to invite you to a conference and give other people the opportunity to hear somebody with a different opinion. They're going to act like you don't exist. It's like professional wrestling. One company doesn't acknowledge the other in the storylines because they're in competition. So that's how they see it. So we never get a chance to speak, but it's amazing that people are still falling for this crap. And they created their own echo chamber in this community, and it's what the problem is in the algorithms, because this whole thing is centrally controlled, which little to the people, because the people who are putting this out, I don't think any of them really realize what they're doing. Now there's a few, I'm sure there's a few that are rotten and agents, but the majority of them have been groomed for this. They had sightings, they had contact, they had benevolent contact for potentially years leading up to this whole event where they have this big awakening, this big epiphany, and all of a sudden now they're going to be a unshadow ban influencer on the internet and have ma a massive following of people. And it's all by design. It just doesn't happen this way organically, because frankly, James, and for everybody out there, people aren't that stupid. But when you only show certain pieces of the entire picture of reality, they act like stupid. They act stupid because they have no other information. They don't have everything that they need to make an informed decision. And for life of me, I don't know what to do. It's to the point where we don't have the algorithms. We don't have a fair way of distributing our information. We have to go grassroots and get people to literally just to spread our information word of mouth. I mean, I guess maybe we have to go back to sending snail mail again and having like little letters and things and like newsletters and things like, I don't know. What do you think?
I'll just look at my most recent commentary, astral dreamscape manipulation, reptilian Draco style. People are unable to add comments to it. So if people are unable to add comments to it, and I keep checking, right? Then there's no discourse. There's no one
Right.
able to write in, "Hey, that happened to me. How did you know that? We need to talk," right? So they remove that from the slate. And then they make it possible for some of these viewpoints that you've been talking about to proliferate, to flourish. And it's stratified because you have these content producers who take on the persona of objective, scientific. We're looking at this from the l legacy program perspective, which corporations are allegedly involved in the analysis and back engineering of this technology. They always totally poo-poo, sidestep the whole alien issue, which also ties into the religious fundamentalists, the fundies, Christian Zionists. Oh, there's no aliens, there's only demons. I mean, so many fall in that category. You're having priests show up on TV, or rather on these podcasts, saying, "Oh no, there's no aliens, there's only demons." Alex Jones is mimicking that, "Oh, there's no aliens, only demons," et cetera, et cetera. So it's stratified, but it's all meant to lead people away from these essential kernels of truth, because these actually younger kind of influencers are quite popular these days because they're really good at producing AI-driven art. What have you, and narration for their videos. And they seem to be pretty good at getting interviews from people who are somewhat familiar with these so-called legacy programs, and even a term legacy is a misnomer. You hear this in the congressional, the faux congressional inquiries, and you hear it in some of these podcasts. Legacy implies old, outdated, passe, obsolete, right? That hardly describes recovered alien technology, where they can go for years trying to figure out some of this stuff. How do they make it? What is it? What is the composition of this metal or alloy, right? I mean, so much of it is cutting edge technology, but they refer to it as a legacy. And also, to your point about these talking points, I remember Interlight Publishing. I think that was put out by Timothy Beckley,
Yeah, I
if
think
I'm
it
not
was.
mistaken. And Beckley, I mean, he was a nice guy, but we used to call it Beckley's three-ring circus, his conferences, because you'd have the odd hardcore researcher who happened to be friends with Tim, and Tim needed people in the seat, so he would quite often get these hardcore type researchers, Bill Hamilton, people like that, to give lectures. But a lot of his presenters were people that were airy fairy, new age la-di-das, that kind of thing, right? And so if you go back to Frank Strange's book, The Introduction of Valiant Thor, and Valiant Thor has had a whole new resurgence in interest. Apparently he's coming through in a lot of telepathic communications, to your point, in the recent
Yeah,
past, right?
he's become an influencer
He's become an influencer
too.
too. So it's stratified. You have these people that present these very scientific, well-produced video presentations of these so-called legacy programs, and then they say, oh, anyone who doesn't ascribe credibility to all these congressional whistleblowers, well, they're living in their parents' basements, they're a bunch of idiots, et cetera, et cetera. Some of the same people who say there are no my labs, they don't even talk about abductions and aliens, let
Yeah,
alone
Lou.
the military abduction aspect. And then
Yeah,
the
that's a Lou
military,
Elizondo. Sorry to interrupt, but Lou Elizondo is a big, basically a big denier of the my labs, the underground bases.
Oh yes, absolutely. And then you look at what they've done with the MyLab research, right? It's been reduced to the level of absurdity. Starship Trooper, Marvel Comics universe type stuff. And so why wouldn't people that are focusing on the legacy aspect of this, all these whistleblowers coming out from under the woodwork, right? When for decades we've had hardcore whistleblowers that the mainstream was not even allowed to know about, right? If their names popped up at all, it was purely to heap scorn and ridicule upon them, right? People like Larry Warren,
Right.
some of these hardcore researchers that are still with us today, right? So these people that are pushing this whole legacy program agenda, they're anti-alien. They don't want to go in that direction. They want to keep it strictly to at the human research and analysis back engineering level, which ties in neatly with those who claim that there are no aliens, there's only demons. It's just the other side of the coin of that. And then the very real MyLab military abduction syndrome, which we've known has been going on for decades. Decades, 40 years. I mean, I've known people that were having these things, military experiences and alien experiences, when they were young kids, in the 60s and in the 50s, right?
Yeah, at least
That's
goes back to the 50s.
at least, and that's all out the window. It's been superseded by the whole super soldier thing. So why wouldn't these people that are emphasizing and focusing on the legacy aspect, all the technical details and the back engineering of the technology, just omitting and not even mentioning aliens, why wouldn't they look down at what used to be my lab research investigations, which now has morphed into this abomination, this whole super soldier thing, right? So they've reduced a very real subject military abductions to the level of absurdity. And that's deliberate. And so it's stratified. There's different levels of deception. You have the new age kind of fuzzy, warm ET aspect. You have the white hats, and I can see them over time coming down the pike. Corey Good, Donald Marshall, different people coming along talking about white hats, sphere being alliances, this, that, and the other, right? And you hit the rewind button. Not too long ago, people like the late great Phil Schneider were saying, oh, wait a minute. Aliens, government, military in collusion, depopulation, they've taken over, right? They bumped him off. So there's a clear disconnect between the hardcore research in the past, which if their data was looked at objectively, would tell the discerning investigator, combined with what the investigator himself or herself has come up with, we're in a deep smell situation. This is entirely non-human. We're being pitted against each other. All these different elements of these demographics of society, so many of them are entity possessed, hosted. They're being riled up by these foaming at the mouth, entity possessed socialist, cultural Marxist. Right? So that's the background. That's what's going on. We used to have a monoculture, you and I. That's what I was going to have Ben Gordon talk about. I will have him talk about this because he's looking at it from the music perspective. How music changed, morphed over the years, where the record labels start emphasizing certain types of so-called music, de-emphasizing others. And the music that was being de-emphasized, kicked to the curb, was the kind of music that actually made people think, was the kind of music
Right.
that actually required creativity and talent, right?
It's a form of mass hypnosis, is
It's a
what they've
form of
done with
mass
the music
hypnosis.
industry.
I look at my high school days and as a young adult, it was a monoculture. You couldn't go to a park on a sunny day. People have their boom boxes out, cranking out Van Halen, cranking out, rock music. And you walk a little further, there's someone over there listening to a baseball game on a radio. That was an America that sadly is no longer with us anymore, right? What we have now
Yeah.
is all these factions, all this roiling discontent that's being stirred up. And we see this in our field. Like I said, it's stratified. People up here that have been really boosted in their content and the algorithms, just emphasizing solely on the legacy program, so-called. And then you have the clown show below it of the New Agers, the Galactic Federation types, the White Hats, the Super Soldier Mob, right? All that is below that, and all the real research. And we're starting to lose the late great investigators of the past. There's only so many of us left, right?
Yep.
I mean, someone like Donald Schmidt should be front and center in any of these congressional inquiries because no one on the planet knows more about Roswell than him. Roswell is the case that makes the case, along with RAF Bentwaters and others, of alien contact, interacting with humans, alien bodies, living aliens, because living aliens were recovered at Roswell, and there was living aliens encountered at RAF Bentwaters. But aliens are taboo. There's a new faux whistleblower has popped up. Oh, if you're thinking about aliens, you're going down the wrong track, right? And once again, he's one of these woo-woo insiders, usually with a special ops type background, because for generations weaned on Call of Duty and those kind of special ops video type games, right? It's
Thank
a
you for bringing
ready.
that up.
It's a ready-made audience for them. This is why so many people pop up from out of the woodwork with these ex-special ops backgrounds, supposedly, who have some piece of the puzzle and supposedly know about a lot of this stuff going on. And like I said before, you and I, we can put our heads together and create an entirely notional, i.e., fictitious character, just knowing what we do, the real research, and then adding in all the embellishments that all these other influencers, whether they're fools or knaves, are putting out. So our character that we make up, he'll talk about Antarctica, he'll talk about stargates, he'll talk about free energy. They'll talk about the Galactic Federation, right? And then we can coach somebody to give interviews and what have you. They'll be all over the internet unless someone in intelligence says, you shouldn't interview this guy, right? But for those people, the podcasters that are not so easily influenced and manipulated, they'll let them come on. And based on the script that we write, they'll put out this whole narrative, which will be in sync with the war in Iran, in sync with all these different social engineering issues going on, right? And it's so easy to manipulate people. There used to be standards, Nathan, back in the day, and we just don't see that anymore.
No, you're right. And I've been noticing the exact same thing last few days. I've been thinking about the stratification of this, how it's a multi-layered psychological operation. It's pure social engineering is what it really is. And they've done a great job of it. And what it really comes down to, and I was discussing this earlier with someone on Facebook, is that you have souls coming into this world. And this world is essentially an ET corporate prison system. And we come into this world to be agents of change with the hope of getting ourselves out of here before we become a facet of it, like an NPC, and become trapped here. So you arrive and you have to basically give yourself to this AI reincarnation system that we've been seeing evidence of, and that's been kind of emerging into our collective psyches now for some time. And it puts us into psychic families. These are monitored bloodlines by the US military and other militaries that are involved with these ETs. And these are basically bloodlines that were genetically engineered into the human race, are actually preserved out of the overall genetic engineering, because I believe what they've engineered out is the ability to be psychic. So what people are left with is a very, very low level. This is why remote viewing can be done by just about anyone who really puts the effort forth, is because there's still a low level connectivity to the divine that's still in us, but they've essentially engineered it out through genetics, and have created these bloodlines so that they can put us into a kind of a VIP type position within the prison. So their dilemma is that we can't stop them from coming in, because the system apparently just digest anything that enters, just like a giant mouth and stomach. So what do we do with them? Well, we're going to be able to, well, what they've been doing with us for the longest time in the ancient world was making us into priests and priestesses, and using us in those types of roles and ceremonies. And essentially, that's social engineering as well. So this is nothing, there's nothing new about any of this. It's just been modernized with AI. It's been modernized with the internet. And of course, we have science, so we know a lot more about our world. So the hocus pocus aspects have been pretty much now stripped away when you get down to this level of it. And so the problem is for them, what do we do? How do we control them? And how do we use them, obviously? So what they've done is they've created these networks of influencers. These are people that have a low-level psychic ability that they were allowed because they were put into these bloodlines, and then they're utilized for to play social influencers or social implant roles for social engineering. So it's a very old game that goes back to ancient times, and it's the control system. It's how do you maintain a completely how do you maintain the con I mean the collective consciousness? How do you weaponize it against itself? How do you control it, and how do you keep people asleep? And this is how they do it. So this is what we're confronted with. And I think a lot of us, and it includes myself, are here essentially from elsewhere to determine what the conditions are on the ground. To determine, is this possible to turn this around? How bad are things really? And certain people come in here under certain conditions and are put through certain things because they volunteered to do that, because the overall positive side needs to know what would happen if this type of person went here or that type of person. So that's fundamentally at the foundation of this. So this is nothing new. And what they've set up is a very complex network of social engineering that has been very effective. And the questions that I have for myself, which is, which I'm constantly pondering, is how do we turn this around? And it looks to me like the only obvious the only obvious outcome of this is going to be that it unfortunately has to run full course. It has to go all the way to whatever the end of the end of this process is. And at that point, humanity has to pick up the pieces. So what's my role and what's your role? And I think it's to lay the psychological, moral, and spiritual seeds of change in the hope that they don't get lost in either a cataclysm, a war, or just being hidden by the controllers, so that
That's a
there's
very good
something
point.
left for the future.
That's a very good point. I'll make this point to wrap up this first segment. The elite, so-called, the Epstein class, the shape-shifting murderous scum, they've got a fallback plan, a plan B. There are many of these perps at the lower levels who are openly buying property in the southern hemisphere, as far away as they can get in case the northern hemisphere
Is nuked.
is nuked and irradiated, right? So we
Yeah.
know that continuity of government. We know that these underground base FEMA type civilizations have existed for a long time. We know about the dumbs. But now it seems quite openly, a lot of these second tier, middle of the road elite, they're still billionaires and multimillionaires. They're checking out. They're bugging out of America. They're getting out because it's being set up right now. They keep poking Putin and the Russian bear in the eye, hoping to get a response. And as Stanislav Kapivnik and others, I really like his analysis. He's a R Russian guy that used to serve in the US Army. And he says, if he considers himself a hardliner, and I can understand, he said that you want to make the European Union back off and get in line. Drop in a Reshnik into the European Parliament, right? And if that doesn't get them to wake up and back the F off, there's more to come because they're openly targeting Russian oil refineries, openly using European factories to make all these munitions that are being shot at Russia. So eventually, Putin, in order for political survival, if nothing else, is going to have to target, if he already hasn't started, a lot of these transportation hubs, munitions factories that are all being used, arrayed against Russia, because they're in it. They're in an existential fight for survival. They're one of the two primary Christian countries left. Well, you have the Commonwealth. The British Commonwealth, but as far as countries that have their own constitutional form of government, right? You have America and you have Russia, both traditionally Christian countries under severe attack. So if nuclear missiles start flying, and that could be the way this timeline plays itself out, right? A lot of these elite, like the point I was making is they have their fallback plan. Most people don't have a fallback plan. They're going to be stuck in these cities. They're going to be stuck in these blue states. They're going to be stuck in these blue cities when the food riots start, right? So anyhow, that's just food for thought. We got a lot more to share in the second segment. Nathan, could you let our viewers and listeners know how they could reach out to you?
Yeah, you can find me on Facebook under my name, and that's Nathan Cizik. That's Nathan. My last name is C as in cat, I, S like snake, Z like zebra, EK. You can find me there. And this week, probably by the end of this week, I'm going to be officially starting my YouTube channel. It's already pre-existing. I've had it for a few years, but I'm changing the direction of it. I've changed the name. It's called Project New Awakening. So that's going to be the beginning of a platform that I build. I'm going to go to Rumble with it and a few other places and eventually do a website. It's part of what I have to do, like when I was at the sink, with a toothbrush. So finally at the point where I can do that, and this is the starting, this is sorry, my next little step. This is the week that I start. So look me up there, and you're going to hear more of this type of hard-hitting type of commentary. Like I said, I'm sick and tired of it, and I had to reach a point where, the disgust and the frustration was at a critical mass state. And of course, I had to clear up some things, but in my own life. But yeah, now it's time to start. So that's where you can find me. And I'll see you guys in the next segment.
Yeah, and for our viewers and listeners, if you like what we do, if you believe what we do, please pass on this content because the shadow banning and algorithms are really against the Cosmic Switchboard show. Like I said, people can't even comment on my astral dreamscape manipulation commentary. So please pass it on to your social media platforms, like and subscribe. And if you're really interested in our information and I suggest you sign up, become a member. Go to the cosmicswitchboard.com and sign up, become a member. So, at any rate, we'll see you on the flip side.